There's so many different places and ways to approach this subject that I have this morning, and I pray that the Lord will bless us to be able to bring some things to your mind that you'll be able to take home with you to remember. I believe I'll start this morning in John chapter 1. I want to talk to you about the law. Brother Bill is a lawyer, so he's the expert, and I'm just learning. But anyway, it says in John chapter 1, it says, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. He was before me, and of his fullness have we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now, when we think about the law, and Brother Bill spoke about that last week, and I want to turn back to his text this morning in Luke chapter 10. Wednesday nights we're studying we're reading through the book of, and studying the book of Luke. Last Wednesday night we got into chapter 9, and we're up to where Brother Bill preached to pretty soon. Anyway, I want to in verse 25. Now notice this is where Brother Bill started last week. Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" That's I believe the man was. It says he was testing the Lord, tempting the Lord. I'm not sure that he was really sincere in what he was asking in this particular sense, but it says that he was tempting the Lord. He was going to see what the Lord would say in answer to this. And Jesus says, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" Well, if we go back to the law, there's a ton of things written in the law. It's amazing how many times the word law is used in the scripture. I think I was reading some of those places. You just put your little in my little concordance here. You put the word law in, it come up 581 times, I think. Now, so when you talk about the law, there is hundreds of laws that were written back in, and we have what we call the Decalogue, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. That's the Pentateuch. I'm sorry, the Decalogue is the Ten Commandments. But anyway, I want to read some of those, look at some of those this morning. I have a list here that I want to kind of go through to give you an idea. It says, "What saith the law?" Well, in the very beginning, there was what we call the natural laws. In the creation, God created the heavens and the earth, and he put things into motion. One of the natural laws, I think, that we can remember is the law of gravity. I mean, that's a law that God put in, and it's amazing sometimes when we think about the earth spinning around at so many miles per hour and so forth, and we're not all getting slung off into space. Well, there's a law that God put into force in his creation, and it's called the law of gravity. Remember Isaac Newton. He was a guy that an apple fell off the tree and hit him on the head. Well, he kind of thought about the law of gravity then, didn't he? So, and we have another one that's in force, which is a lot of natural laws that Brother Bill can talk about to us. But we have water. God fixed it where it freezes at 32 degrees. These are laws that are set into force. There's many of those in there. And then we have the second law I want to talk about is the law of sin and death. That law came into effect when Adam and Eve was in the garden. God gave all of the things in the garden for them to, he said, all of the trees that God put them in the garden, he fixed everything for them. He put all the animals and all the fruits and all the things for them to eat. But he said in the midst of the garden, he said, there is this one tree. And he said, you cannot eat of it. And he said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. That is what we call the law of sin. He said, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And we know that he ate and he died. And that's the law of sin and death. And every creature that's ever born into this world comes into the world condemned by the law of sin and death because of the sin. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the moral law. We have what is called the moral law. And there's all kinds, there's the civil laws, there are judicial laws, there's ceremonial laws, the law, when you talk about penal laws, Brother Bill, there's laws that are put into force that are for punishment of the laws that's given. I mean, there's all kinds of laws. I mean, we read into the, in the book of Leviticus. I'd like, sometimes if you guys ever, just go into the book of Leviticus, and I read all these different laws that's put into effect. There was the law, it says, this is the law. This is the law of the meat offerings. And this is literally what it said. This is the law of the sin offerings. This is the law of the trespass offering. This is the law of the sacrifice of peace. This is the law of the beast of the fowl. And all of these laws were put into effect, and they were not suggestions. They were put in there as to rule God's children, but now we come down to what we call the moral law. People, and you know, there's people that say that there's the extremes on both sides. Usually, the truth is always in the middle. There are those that we call legalists. Those are people that are strict. Interpreters of the law, they say this, I mean, they take it all literal and to the T. And then we have the other side of that coin is what we call antinomians. Those people say there is no law. I mean, that, and what they really saying is that when Jesus came into the world and he died for our sins, he took us out from under all the laws, that there was no laws from then on. And those people are called antinomians, which the word anti means against. And the nomia means law, so it's against the law. So those people believe there is no law. Well, the scriptures where we're trying to get to this morning is the Ten Commandments was given by the Lord by Moses. It said the law came by Moses. Well, really, the law didn't come by Moses, did it? It says that the law was written by the finger of God. But we have the law in Genesis and Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, those are the laws that was given to God, I mean, given to Moses by God on the mountain. But now notice you can find these commandments in Exodus chapter 20. And this is, Ten Commandments, I believe, I've looked at several different places, different ways that they display the law. But usually, when we look at the first tablet, we find those laws that are pertaining to God, which there's four on that side, and there's six on the other. Now, our duty toward God is the first four commandments. It says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Those are the laws that's pertaining to our conduct and our responsibility toward God. Then on the second tablet, we have our duty toward man, my duty toward you and your duty toward each other. It says, honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And thou shalt not covet. Now, those are what we call the Decalogue or the Ten Commandments. Now, and so when we read in this chapter where Brother Bill started, he said, what sayest the law? Well, when we read through what all that Jesus did, these Pharisees, they were always picking at the Lord, saying, well, the disciples went through the fields and they picked off some corn and they ate it with their hands without washing it. And Jesus healed on the Sabbath day and all these things that they were always picking at the Lord. Well, it says here in this verse, what saith the law? Well, this is what the young man answered. And he answered, saying, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And Brother Bill talked last week about our neighbor, and he preached a wonderful sermon on what is called the parable of the Good Samaritan. And I'm not going to go all over that again, but the issue here was what is the greatest commandment? What is the greatest commandment in all of the Old Testament and all of the New Testament? Well, the young man said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, all thy strength. Now, when you think about that, it says, and thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus says, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Well, I don't believe that the Lord was telling him, in order to have eternal life, you need to do all of these different things. But if you're doing all of those different things, if you love the Lord thy God with all your soul, with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your strength, then you're going to have life. You're going to have a joyful life in this world. Now, this particular concept is set forth in several different places. I want to go over to the book of Matthew, and this here's again a lawyer in verse 22 of chapter 22. I'm sorry, chapter 22, verse 35. I'll get it in a minute. It says, then one of them which was a lawyer. One of them which was a lawyer. When we talk about the lawyers that's under consideration here, these are the people that were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. These were people that literally took literal the law. Those were the ones that was always after the Lord, trying to say, you broke this law and you did this law. And here it says, then one of them which was a lawyer asked him a question, tempting him. When it says tempting, that means testing him, putting him to the test to see if they can trip him up in some particular way. Okay, now notice the Lord now answers this question. The master, he said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? The great commandment. The greatest of all. He said, thou shalt, now this is Jesus' words. These are red letters. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. I want you to think about that for a minute. This is a great commandment. And he's quoting almost directly out of Deuteronomy. And then he brings in the second one. And the second one is, likening to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, upon these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, here is two, we take all of Genesis through Exodus, all the way down through, and all the Ten Commandments, and all of these particular laws that we have here, all the laws over there, and now, it's amazing to me when you go over into the book of Leviticus and you read, it just blows your mind about all the things that they had to do and all the things. And if you didn't do it exactly right, then you had to, there was penalties. They set up judges back in those days. Why did they need judges? They need judges to exact the law that these people were breaking. And when you think about all the laws that was over there, If I had to do all this, I'd just stay in bed. I'd be afraid to get up. Well, you see, the point here is this. And the question is asked, well, why was the law given? Well, it was given because of the transgression. It was given because of the sin that was there. And how would it be in the world today if we go through the world and there's no laws? I mean, that's what it says there was in the book of Judges, or the last one of the books, I can't remember. But it says that everybody just did what was right in their own eyes. You see, there is a philosophy that's going in the world today. It's called situation ethics. People just, what's good for you may not be good for you. And there's laws that there is really no absolute. There's no absolutes. It's just whatever you feel like doing. And if it, how can, you know, say, well, how can this be wrong if it feels so good? I mean, these are the things that the law of Christ is given here. And it's, he says, on these two laws hang all the law and the prophets. Now, when you think about the first four, now it says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy heart and all thy mind. If you do that, you're not going to have any more gods, are you? If you love the Lord your God with all your soul, with all your heart and all your mind, and you're not going to make unto you any graven image if you're fulfilling that. And if you love the Lord thy God with all your soul, with all your heart, you're not going to take the name of the Lord in vain. If you do those things, then that's proof that you're not following that, right? And he says, remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. You know, this is this was one of the things that they tried to trip Jesus up on many, many occasions. He said, you're breaking the Sabbath day. You're healing on the Sabbath day. Well, Jesus said the Sabbath was not made for man, but man was made for the Sabbath. And so when we look at that from the standpoint of what the Sabbath is, the word Sabbath means rest. Jesus, our God, created the world in 6 days, and he said on the seventh day, he rested. Not that he was tired, but that he was finished with his work. And so he said that 6 days you can work, and the seventh you shall rest. Well, when we talk about the seventh, and we want to know what the seventh is, it's not Sunday, it's Saturday. And so should we be some people that believe that we should be here worshiping on Saturday instead of Sunday. Well, I believe if you look at it from the standpoint of when they began to worship on Sunday, the first day of the week, it was after the resurrection. Jesus rose from the grave on the first day of the week. So wouldn't you think that would be a proper time for us to worship the Lord? The word Sabbath means rest, and Jesus is our Sabbath. In one particular place, Jesus says that all of the law, he said, all of the law is fulfilled. Jesus said, not one jot nor one tittle shall pass from the law till all be fulfilled. He fulfilled every concept, every aspect, everything that Jesus did while he was here upon this earth was fulfilling some law that was written about him. So when we look at those points, I mean, when we talk about the law, and this is what these young men, they said, what good thing may I do that I may have eternal life? Well, and Jesus looked at them and he said, well, what does the law say? If you want to be perfect, he said, if thou wilt be perfect. Well, if you're going to live under the law, if you want to live under the law service, then you have to be perfect. And the word perfect most of the time in the scriptures doesn't mean without sin. It means complete. But if you want to live a complete life, and if you're depending upon your works and upon keeping law to get you to heaven, this is the question he said, what must I do to have eternal life? Well, Jesus goes down through and he says these same things. Well, what does the law say? He said, thou shalt not commit adultery. That's good. And he goes through all of those various chapters. That's back in the 19th chapter of this book of Matthew. He said, thou shalt do no murder. Is it still sin to, I mean, are these 10 commandments still in effect? Is it still sin to kill somebody? It said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's Jesus telling. Young man said, I'm pretty good. My Lord, he said, I've already done all that. From my very youth, I've been doing all them things. You see, a lot of times I think we'll look over here and we do that sometimes too. We say, well, that's a good one. That's a good one. That's good. Well, I don't really like that one. Throw that one away. You can't pick and you can't choose which ones of these are the best. We're going to talk about sin. What is there any such thing as a little bitty white lie? You see, we can categorize sin. There's a lot of things worse than lying, isn't there? My mother used to say, well, you know, you go to the same place for lying as you do stealing. Well, if we're depending upon our works and depending upon what we can do, then we're all blowed up suckers, like old Brother Cal Kennedy used to say. But the point here is that there is in place a law that you and I can keep to fulfill all of them. Now Jesus paid the price, and when we look at the word law, there's so many of them. I mean, how many? Oh, which law is he talking about? You know, here. Well, it all comes down to these two. He said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy heart, and with all thy mind, and all thy strength. Now, I want us to think about ask yourself, your own self, honestly, have I done that yet? Do I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and all my strength? Well, I have to say, no, Lord. He said, when we've come down and we've done all that we can do today, then we must come and say we're unprofitable servants. But the goal is for us to do these things. And he said, if thou wilt be perfect. Now this is where the young man failed here. He said, if thou wilt be perfect. And if I have to do something to get eternal life, then I have to do all of them. If you know, the law is like a chain. I mean, here's one chain. If you break the law in one point, you've broken it all. And you can't just say, well, I've kept this and this and this and this and this. I'm pretty good, right? And Jesus says, one thing thou lackest. Just one thing you lack. He said, go and sell all that thou hast, give to the poor, and take up your cross and follow me. Now notice he says, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, you see, one of the things that is in this law of Ten Commandments is thou shalt not covet. Now, when we think about covetousness, now the Apostle Paul, he magnified that law. He said, covetousness is idolatry. So when you're coveting, and what is covetousness? It's desiring to have more than you need. It's looking out there and saying, oh, and there's a very thin line. Brother Bill's talked about, envy. What is envy? Well, envy is a little bit different than covetousness. Envy is, I don't really need that, but I don't want you to have it. You see, envy is, it's cruel as a grave. But when we think about covetousness, covetousness is having an inordinate affection for the things of this world. Things that, idolatry can be anything. What is it in your life that you love more than the Lord Jesus Christ? These are the things that we need to ask ourselves. What is it that is hindering me from doing my Lord's will? And covetousness is idolatry. And this young man was very rich. And he went away sorrowful. And Jesus made this point. He said, it is easier for a camel. I mean, you know, a big old camel. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, he didn't say it was impossible, but you can't go in. And when I'm talking about the kingdom of God, I'm talking about the fellowship and the worshiping of God and entering into his service. You can't go in with all that stuff on you. Jesus said, lay all those things aside and come and take up your cross and follow me. And he was sad and sorrowful. Now, when you think about all of these particular concepts that he talked about. Now, so he said, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. Think with me over in what the Apostle Paul said in the 13th chapter of the book of Romans. In Romans 13, I pick up in verse 7. He said, "Render therefore all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor." There are civil laws in this world that, I mean, we are to keep the laws of the land. We are to keep and a lot of us break the speed limit laws, but those are laws too that need to be obeyed. But there's consequences for doing that. But when it says here, owe no man anything, don't owe any man anything, but to love one another. I owe you that. He said, don't owe anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. If you want to fulfill the law, and Jesus told the young man, he says, this do and thou shalt live. And he never did say, well, you do this and you do this and you do this and you'll have eternal life. That was the question the young man asked. But, and the man went away sorrowful, and his apostle says, Lord, how can a man be saved if he can't be saved by the Ten Commandments? And the Lord said, with man, this is impossible. You cannot, there is not, and the book of Galatians is so beautiful when if we had a stamp to put over the book of Galatians, we'd just say, it'd stamp it not under law. That's what the whole book of Galatians is all about. These people they had been brought forth by the Spirit of God, but they thought that, and the Judaizers came in, they said, well, that's good, but you gotta do this, 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 and this. You've got it, but you gotta do this, this, and this in order to keep it. You understand? You've got it, but you can lose it. Well, if you can lose eternal life, you didn't ever have eternal life. But when we think about what the one point in Galatians, and I'll go back to Romans here, but it says, he said, if there had been a law given, any law. Now, what is a law? A law is a plan, a rule of action, something that must be followed in order to receive the benefits of it. And there's the penal laws which is put into effect because you broke these laws. And there's judgments that come when you're, there's all kinds of things that those people had to do under the law. I mean, it's amazing. He said, but if there had been a law given, any law, and there's which one of these? 10 of these. Which one of these? None of these will get you to heaven. He said, if there had been a law given, any law that could have given life, then verily righteousness should have been by that law. He said, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. He's dead in vain. You say, well, Brother Allen, I thought it says over in this book of Romans, it says, we're not under the law, but we're under grace. Well, we're not under the ceremonial law. We're not under the law of sin and death. It says in Romans chapter 8, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. We're not under that law. When Jesus died upon the cross, all of our sins was laid upon him, and he fulfilled every jot and tittle of the Old Testament. So we're not under those laws. But when you come along and you say, well, that means we're not under any laws. That's where the antinomians come in, you know. They say, well, Jesus did all those things. We're not under any law. We can just do whatever we want because Jesus. And the apostle Paul answered that question. He said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. He said, he that is dead to sin, how shall he live any longer therein? So when we look at these principles, what are we to do? To keep all of the law, he says, all of it. Love the Lord your God. And this is your goal, my goal. Love your Lord your God with all your soul, with all your heart, and with all your mind. And your neighbor. As you said, well, that, who's my neighbor? That's what Brother Bill talked about last week. Who was the neighbor? Who is the neighbor? Is it my fellow lawyers? Is it my deacon friends? You, my neighbor. I can be nice to you. Is it the people next door? Maybe it's some of my buddies from work. You see, the neighbor in this particular parable of the Good Samaritan was the one who was in need. That's your neighbor. Whoever you see is in need, that's the neighbor that you're to help. But the rabbi, he went by on one side. I mean, he saw him down there, and he just walked over on the other side. And the Levi, he crossed over on the other side. But the Good Samaritan, he took him up, and he doctored him up, and he took him to an inn. He paid the money. He said, "And when I come back by here, if there's anything left that's on this man's account, I'll pay it." Now, could we do that? He said, and I believe that Good Samaritan fulfilled the law from that standpoint. Now, notice in Romans, I'm going to get out of here. It says, this is the law. For thus thou shalt not commit adultery. There is people in this world that believes that there is no such thing as adultery anymore. I mean, apparently. I mean, there's people that just, they say, "We're not going to get married. We just live together." Well, and it doesn't make any difference if you get married, we can always get divorced and all of these different things. And so, Hollywood has made it just wonderful but adultery is still sin. It still is. I mean, thou shalt not kill. Jesus identified what that is. There's some people that say, "Well, thou shalt not kill. That means I can't go to the war. I can't go and defend my country." Those are called conscientious objectors, and some of them during the war they run off up to Canada and various places so they wouldn't have to go to fight for their country. But that's not what that means. Jesus identified and magnified that. He said, "Thou shalt do no murder." Murder is the sin that he's talking about here, and it's a sin that is premeditated. It is thinking ahead and planning it all out and doing malicious forethought. That's what constitutes murder. Now, there's a lot of ways we kill people. Thou shalt not kill. If some little child or something runs out, and you better be careful when you arrive down our street because there's kids coming in and out of there all the time. I mean, the other day I was driving in there, just this little kid just shot right out in front of me. Right through one driveway to the other. I could have killed that kid. But it wouldn't have been murder. So when it says, thou shalt, now this is what Paul is, he's reestablishing Jesus' points. Thou shalt not covet. Well, back up, he said, thou shalt not bear false witness. Boy, we need to take that one up to Washington, don't we? Huh? I mean, my goodness gracious, what does that mean? Don't lie. Quit lying. You know, the Apostle Paul said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. You know, why would he say that anyway? Because some of the people that ever thought he was lying. Well, he said, thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, think about all these commandments over here in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. In all these different places. He said, if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill toward his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Fulfilling the law. And that knowing that it's high time we understood this. He said, knowing that the time that now it is high time. It's high time. It's the time is now. He said, awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. These principles, brothers and sisters, are still in effect as much as they was back then. I want to, you know, when we think about the law over in Ecclesiastes 12, it says, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. This is all of it. He said, let us fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Now, in closing, there is one. I found this one in Malachi, just reaching over here. Now, notice, and I'll close with this one. Wherefore shall I come before the Lord? Wherefore shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? I come before him. I'm in Malachi chapter 6. God shall I come before him with burnt offerings? If I go back under the law, if I'm a Jew and I have rejected Christ as the Messiah, then yes, indeed, this is what I must do. But he says, shall I come before him with burnt offerings and calves of a year old? Shall I bring the Lord a calf and sacrifice him? Will the Lord be pleased with 1,000 rams? Or with 10,000 rivers of oil? Will the Lord, if I brought all that in there, would that please the Lord? Shall I give my firstborn son? Shall I give my firstborn for transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? If I could do all those things and that was required of me, would that still be enough to get me to heaven? You see, that's what the whole point that Jesus was making. With men, it is impossible. But with God, all things are. Now here's the answer. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. He showed you what's good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before thy God. And that's what he requires of you and me and all of us. And when we go to bed at night and we reflect back upon ourselves, we'll say, well, I didn't do quite so well today. And we ask God's forgiveness. But we get up the next morning and we go forward with renewed resilience to try again to do better than we did yesterday. Not in order to obtain eternal life. We already have that. But to prove our love for the Lord and to prove our love to each other and to walk in his fellowship while we live here in this ungodly world. May the Lord bless you is our prayer. Come ahead, Brother Bill.
Man's law is divided into two kinds of law. Malum prohibitum means just regulations. It's wrong because the rules have been made. You drive one way on a street, not two ways on this particular street. That's prohibitum. Malum in se means evil, laws that are evil. And he's done a good job of telling you the difference between those two. I'm not going to take even the 13 minutes, I don't believe it. Let's see. I want to read to you from the 5th chapter of Romans. And I want the 11th verse, but I'm going to start reading the 9th verse. You know, Brother Cummings, who raised us all, used to say if he had one chapter in the Bible, he'd take the 5th chapter of Romans. He says, much more than being now justified by his blood, by his blood. And I challenge you to just go through and read his own blood and see how many times it says that, by his own blood. Not yours, his own blood. Because your blood didn't count. Your blood's evil and sinful. His wasn't. Because he was bred, born of the Holy Spirit, which his blood is pure. And the only vessel ever created in this world that was worthy for the propitiation of your sins, if you read that little article in paper on atonement, you just catch a little glimpse of atonement. Perhaps atonement is the most important subject of the entire Bible. I remember one time Brother Don Ferris said he'd been invited to preach to a certain meeting of preachers, and his subject was the atonement. And he asked, Brother, I believe you were with me at that time, he asked, what would you preach on? Where would you go with the atonement? All over the Bible. Because, as I read to you now, there was a day of atonement every year on the 7th month and 10th day, as God said to Moses in Leviticus 23, that on that day you celebrate the atonement. Well, you read in the 10th chapter, I believe it's 11th chapter of Hebrews, you'll see that the blood of bulls and goats was not satisfactory, but only pointed toward the atonement. So what is the atonement? I read to you, beginning with the 9th verse of the 5th chapter of Romans, "Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." Brother Allen talked to you about sin and listed many things. Let me give you a formula for sin. 14th chapter, I believe it's in the 14th chapter of Romans, it says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. That means to you, to me, to all of us, whatever we do, we must do with the faith of Christ. What would God do? Now, we've talked about the atonement that was promised by the celebration of that yearly on the 10th day of the 7th month of the year. Listen to this verse. "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." Now, I'm going to leave that. I have lots of verses. I thought maybe I'd give you this point. My dear brother gave you a lot to think upon, and I just added a little to that to think upon. The atonement is a great subject to study. You'll find it only mentioned once. Sometimes it's called reconciliation, but it's only mentioned in this 5th chapter in the New Testament, but it's taught throughout. Especially, you'll read the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews, you'll see what the benefit of the atonement is to us, is eternal life. Now, as we close this, and ask anybody who desires to join the church, and you ought to, if you believe in Christ, you ought to take up His medal and carry it, as did Christ carry your sins.